Welcome to Out of Bounds. I'm Tish Perlman. My guest is Lucia Sacco. Sacco is Executive Director of Lifelong, a community center for adults over 50. Prior to joining Lifelong, Sacco worked as Director of Admissions and Social Work at Cougar Ridge Extended Care, where she worked for 21 years. She currently also serves on the board of the Human Services Coalition's Health Planning Council and is the liaison for Lifelong on the County Office for the Aging Committee. Lucia, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
Well, I want to know how you started your career in social services. It always interests me how people hone in on certain aspects of a job life.
Well, I have to say it sort of surprises me to say that I'm working with seniors. My parents died when I was young. My grandparents died when I was young. I really was never around older people. So I had an opportunity many years ago to kind of get my foot in the door at, actually it was Lakeside at the time. And I started out in the business office there and still didn't really deal with seniors. And then they lost their admissions coordinator, and the owner asked me to step in into that position. And I absolutely loved it. I just fell in love with it. I loved the residents. I loved the families. I loved the work that we tried so hard to do. It's a tough job.
Oh, I'll bet. Yeah. That's interesting that you find something like that, that you actually gel with. Was there any kind of transition period where you had to learn how to deal with older people?
Not really. To be honest, I was a little intimidated at first. I didn't want to say or do anything to cause anyone distress. I also joked that I wouldn't wear white because I was afraid someone would think I was a nurse and want me to help them. But honestly, I was saying I used to say I liked working with that population, and here I am, that population. I am that population.
That happens every once in a while.
Now, if you're lucky.
You joined Lifelong in 2015 as the executive director. So tell me what your typical day is like.
So actually, I started there as a program assistant. When I was at the nursing home, my husband had retired, my kids grew up and moved out, and I just woke up one day and wanted a little less stress in my life. This position opened up at Lifelong, and it was a part-time job. It was a program assistant, and I thought, that's the job for me.
Wow.
And so I did start in that position and really enjoyed it. And then the board decided to make some changes at Lifelong, and they asked me to step into the role of executive director. I had some doubts and told them all the reasons that probably wasn't a very good idea, but they talked me into it, and I'm so grateful for that. They have been nothing but wonderful and supportive, and I love my job.
Oh, well, that's a huge hurdle for most people. Now, I'm wondering just what are the general needs of people over 50 who come into Lifelong? Because to be over 50, a lot of people are still working, still are involved in their career. So what kind of services do they need?
Well, that's so true. You know, we're in our 66th year. So many years ago, some really smart folks got together and said that maybe older adults had some needs that needed to be addressed that weren't being addressed. So that's sort of how the Seniors Citizens Council was formed. But what we're finding is our members are engaged, and they want to stay independent and in charge of their own lives. And so they're coming to us for activities. They're taking charge of their health. They're exercising. They're learning about different health options. They're taking classes. They're teaching classes. They're volunteering. When we talk about funders and they want to know about our numbers and how many participated and how much money did a program make, what really can't be measured is what happens in the hallway after class or in the lounge before a class. And that's the thing I think I'm most proud of, you know, the connections that happen there.
Oh, and it's so important. I mean, people of any age, it's hard to make connections in this culture right now. Everybody's sitting in front of their computers.
Oh, you're so right.
Yeah, God. Now, is there such thing as a typical person who comes to Lifelong? Is it somebody older than 50 or 60, somebody who really needs help?
I mean, our folks are pretty independent, so they're not needing help physically. Right now, we're in the middle of our free tax period, so we're the home of tax counseling for the elderly. So we serve about over 800 people during the tax season, preparing free taxes for them. I say we. That is not me. You don't want me to do your taxes. But this is a cadre of about 26 volunteers who show up and help folks with their taxes.
Oh, that's great.
So that's a really busy thing. So some people come in for specific programming like that, or we're the house of HICAP, which is Health Insurance Information Counseling and Assistance Program. So help with Medicare, basically, which is a really confusing and sort of intimidating process.
Oh, yeah.
when you get to your early 60s and you're sort of inundated by mail, and in the fall, you know, there's so many commercials on TV, and it's hard to know where to turn. So again, these volunteers will help sort of walk you through that process.
Wow, that's a great service. You know what I'm also interested in is the social groups. The connections is what a lot of people talk to me about lifelong.
Exactly.
Tell us what some of those social groups are.
Well, one of my favorites isn't all that well attended, but it's a group of folks who grew up taking an instrument, any instrument, and now they don't have any place to do that. So they meet in our activity room. We have a piano in there. One woman brings her flute. There are guitars. One guy had, like, a steel guitar one day. I think that was a little much for them, but... so it's just such a wonderful thing. You know, they're in there, and they're jamming, and they really enjoy that. So that's kind of one of those things I was talking about in terms of numbers. Not a huge number. Maybe there's 5 or 6 people in there.
Mm-hmm.
But the pleasure that they get, and we get to benefit. We get to hear the music they're playing. The benefit is immeasurable, I think.
Are there card games and any kind of meal sharing and anything like that?
Not meal sharing. We do have a vegan dish to pass once a month.
Mm.
I asked the facilitator if she was vegan. She said, no, I'm a flexitarian. I thought that was a great word. So, yeah, they meet once a month and do that. We do have we have a chess social group. Our Mahjong meets every Friday, which is really interesting.
Mm.
We teach a class every once in a while. We have a volunteer who teaches a class, and I did take that. Really enjoyed that. And they invite me to sit in with them every once in a while, and they're very patient with me, which I know that's true of all our social groups. You know, it doesn't matter the level that you're at, whether you're a beginning knitter or Mahjong player or drawer, artist. People will be really patient and work with you.
Do most of these activities take place during the day, or do you have night activities?
Most are during the day, but we do recognize, as you mentioned earlier, people are still working. So we've been offering some evening classes for those of us who want to take advantage of the classes but are still working. We also do classes throughout the county. You know, we're really lucky to get funding from the county, from United Way, from Triad Foundation. We've had funding from the Community Foundation. So they all want to know that we're trying to get out into all corners of the county. So we really strive to do that.
Well, what about learning opportunities? I find that really interesting. You have volunteers volunteering to teach?
This is an amazing thing. So we're in this community, as you can imagine. We have a lot of retired teachers and professors, and they still have a lot of knowledge that they want to share. And lucky for us, they're willing to volunteer their time at Lifelong to do that.
Wow.
So it might be a one-time presentation on how germs are good for us, or it could be a 12-week course on Shakespeare, or just a myriad of topics. We do finance and health and fitness and arts and leisure and
How does that work, though? Does somebody come in and just say, I want to teach a class? Or do people come to Lifelong and say, I want to take a class in this. Do you have one?
So both. I'd love it when people walk in and say, hey, I have this interest. And it doesn't necessarily have to be, a degreed program or something that they taught. If they had a hobby or an interest and they want to show us how to do origami or something, you know, we're all for that. I joke that we used to have a reputation for maybe not wanting to try new things, and now we'll try anything. If somebody says they're interested in it, we'll try to find someone to facilitate it. And sometimes that is the struggle. You know, it's great to come up with ideas, but sometimes we don't always know where to turn to find the person to facilitate that.
Well, where do you find the person? And do you check credentials? Do you make sure that they know what they're doing?
A lot of it is word of mouth. You know, we're not above going on a website and contacting someone and saying, hey, here's who we are, here's what we'd like to do, and would you be willing to do it with us? So these aren't, nobody's taking these classes for credits or anything. It's complete information and entertainment and enjoyment. We have some favorite instructors. I know we're not supposed to, but we have some instructors it pretty much doesn't matter what they're going to teach. People are going to sign up for it because they really love the instructor. Some of the instructors, I found this really interesting, they love the research process. So one gentleman told me that he spends hours and hours and hours on research for whatever the topic is. And a small portion of that makes it into the classroom, but he loves the process. So that's not a hardship for him.
Yeah. So the teachers and the students are learning something and benefiting.
Exactly.
From this freedom in some ways.
They're all benefiting. They're all benefiting.
You know what I'm curious about? There was something listed called the Northside Southside program in your catalog. Tell us what that is.
So this was a wonderful program that started, I think it was in the 70s even, and it was a way to try to bridge those communities, the Northside neighborhood with the Southside. Of course, the neighborhoods have changed drastically since then. So Northside Southside has become our multicultural programming. We've been doing some coffee house events, people who've traveled, people who have interesting food or fabrics or design or anything involving a different culture. That's sort of where you'll find them. We do an annual Martin Luther King Jr. Luncheon at Southside Community Center, and that's a really wonderful event. It's sort of it feels like a neighborhood event. You know, people are greeting each other. They hadn't seen them since last year at that time, and that's a wonderful thing. I think, honestly, as I say that, that's one of the things that I appreciate most about Lifelong is, and it's so gratifying when people come in and say they feel welcomed. They have a place to go, they're comfortable there, they like the atmosphere, and so that's what feels really good about it.
Are you the one who has to do the outreach into the community to get the Southside Community Center and so on to participate? How does that work?
Well, we're small, but we're mighty, Tish. There are actually 8 of us, but in terms of full-time equivalents, we're about 5.1. Mm. So we all wear many hats, you know. Nigel is our program director. She might be out doing it one day. And Liza is busy right now with taxes, but, she, you know, it might be her. Whatever we need to do, we wear many hats, as many small not-for-profits do. And whatever it takes to get the word out there, we'll do. You know, we don't have a huge marketing budget, so that's always a struggle. And we rely on word of mouth. We love the Human Services Coalition listserv. We rely on that.
Oh, yeah.
So that's always a challenge, though, getting the word out.
Well, I noticed that you offer Tai Chi and meditation and yoga and stuff like that. No, those are disciplines that actually do need some expertise. Did you have to go out and look for someone, or did somebody come and say, I want to offer this?
So all of our exercise instructors are certified, and they are the only ones that are paid of our instructors. They do get paid. So I have to say, when I was in the nursing home and I was working with people who were 60 and 70 and 80, and they were very frail and infirm and weak, and then I got to Lifelong and I saw that same population doing yoga and Tai Chi and Zumba, which I thought was so great, that's been a wonderful thing. That's been a wonderful thing. And some of our folks are there 3 times a day. You know, they're taking strength training in the morning and Zumba in the afternoon. They're in charge. They're in charge of their lives, and they're going to keep move it or lose it.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Lucia Sacco. She's the executive director of Lifelong, a community center for adults over 50. This is really interesting. When I first started doing my own research for this, I didn't know they had so much to offer. You know, you start just thinking that it's a social kind of thing. Classes and all these offerings were astonishing to me, actually.
I joke that if when you hear senior center, you think of Afghans and rocking chairs, think again.
People sitting in front of the TV and arguing about what's on. Yeah.
I have to tell you kind of a funny story. We have college students come, and they'll work in, we have a computer lab. So they'll work with our members in the computer lab on whatever the topic might be. It might be something specific, you know, help with Facebook or that sort of thing, or it might just be bring in your electronics and we'll help you with your phone or your iPad, your tablet, whatever. So one gentleman was sitting in the hall, and I said, Barry, what are you doing out here? And he said, well, I'm in the Gadgets for Geezers class.
That's good.
I said, I don't think we called it that, but I want to.
I think you should.
Isn't that funny?
That's funny,
oh my
gosh.
What
do you do? I mean, anybody can come to Lifelong, right? But I mean, what if people do come in who need special services, you know, for disability or something like that?
Well, you know, with every phone call and everybody that comes in, we want to try to help. We have a lot of information there that we can rely on. We work very closely with COFA, County Office for the Aging. Mm. We refer a lot of folks to them or to Finger Lakes Independent Center.
Yes.
We have brochures and booklets and things that we can do a little research for them for. We really don't offer any sort of hands-on physical thing like that.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to try to research it for you if we can.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. I mean, the older population often has people with disabilities, wheelchairs, people who have had strokes and cannot speak perfectly
sure.
clearly.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
I thought there was something really interesting. The class called Write Your Own Obituary.
Oh,
now, how do you
goodness.
Make that a cheerful thing?
And you've got exactly the right word. Roger, this was the second time he offered this. And the first time he offered it, one of the participants had to excuse herself. She had to use the facilities. And she was afraid she wouldn't find her way back to the room. But she said she followed the sound of the laughter.
Ah.
So isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the instructor really enjoyed the process, too. I don't know. I think that they just make things interesting.
And people want to take that class, I assume.
Oh, yeah.
It's a popular one, huh?
I think we had a waiting list for that one.
Wow.
Yeah. And I think he did it in, like, three parts. So the first part is sort of how do you start gathering information for this? And then he had some really, really wonderful examples of what you might or might not want in your obituary.
Oh, I bet that's something to concentrate on.
He did a terrific job, yeah.
Yeah, I've never seen anything quite like that. And it seems to me people wouldn't want to deal with it. You know what I mean?
You know, our folks are pretty straightforward. They don't want any surprises. They want to be in charge of their lives. We're doing a program called AMP, or Aging Mastery Program, and we're in the second semester of that now. And I took it the first time we offered it. And it's a 10-week curriculum, and we're offering it free with support from Office for the Aging. And I won't remember all 10 of them, but there are classes. It's one week is medication, one is nutrition, one is exercise, one is financial fitness, one is community engagement.
Mm.
And I walked into it thinking, I pretty much know all there is to know about these things. Oh, my gosh. I left everyone saying, I did not know that.
Or
that's a really interesting way of looking at it. So it's a great class. So this year we actually had to cut it off at 20. We had... So I think in the fall, you know, I hope people will hear about it and sign up for that as well.
You know, I was wondering, and somebody asked me about this once, do you allow people who are younger than 50 come in? Like if somebody has a companion or even a partner that's younger than 50, how does that work?
Yes. You know, our programs are sort of geared for older adults.
Person were interested, right, you could...
Yeah, well, so we have a clay class every week, and we have a couple of people from Broom Developmental come in. They come in with their aide. They get so much out of it. I'm not going to tell them they can't come.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's joyful. It's wonderful to see them and the pleasure they get from it and the pride they get from what they're doing. So.
Yeah, so you don't actually ask for IDs.
We don't.
Oh, that's great. One thing I always wonder in a setting like this, how do you deal with conflict? How do you deal with people not getting along? How do you deal with harassment? Do you have a policy?
Well, I think yes, we have a policy. We haven't really had to address it all that much.
Really?
You know, staff, as I said, we're small, but we all work so well together. And I feel so lucky to be able to say that, you know.
Yeah.
And we cross train and we fill in and we do what needs to be done. And in terms of of our members or instructors or that sort of thing. We've been so lucky. We haven't really had to deal with too much of that.
You should teach the rest of the world how to behave.
I don't think it has anything to do with us, or it's just that people feel comfortable and welcome and they don't want to jeopardize that. I don't know, but...
That is absolutely amazing to me. I would always think there's going to be conflicts when a group of people get together, right?
And I'm sure there are. And there are some, you know, discussion classes where I think things probably get a little heated and, you know, different opinions. But I think they're also really respectful of that. So
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Yeah. They appreciate the thing they're creating.
I think so. Yeah.
So tell us how somebody can volunteer. I mean, you don't necessarily have to have a program in mind or a class in mind. What other kinds of volunteers do you need?
Well, we certainly have some wonderful, wonderful, valuable office volunteers. We are also the home of Volunteers Connected. Mm. So back in the day, I don't know if you're familiar with RSVP, which was the Retired Senior Volunteer Program. That was a federal program, and it just got more and more cumbersome. The reporting was difficult, and it got to the point where they didn't really want us to report volunteer hours unless they were volunteers helping to keep someone in their home, which is great and important, but it completely discounted, you know, we have over 300 volunteers at 60 not-for-profits volunteering their time.
Yeah.
And we think that's important. We want to track that. We want to let people know that those folks are doing it. So that's Volunteers Connected. We do that in partnership with United Way's Get Connected. They have an online platform. If you're comfortable with that, you can go online and look for some volunteer opportunities. But many of our folks are more comfortable coming in and speaking to someone one-on-one, talking about their skills or their interests, and Joyce can help figure out what agency will best benefit from that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's good to know that Lifelong is kind of has an umbrella of services that people can get involved in.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And I mentioned our tax volunteers as well and our Medicare volunteers. I mean, those are such important programs and so important to the population that we serve.
Oh, yeah.
And again, I'm astounded that these people, they show up year after year. I mean, some of them have been doing it for over 20 years.
Mm.
They're so committed to the programs, and to a person, they say they get more out of it than they give. So how wonderful is that?
Oh, yeah. It's such a complicated issue to me.
Oh, me too.
I was really interested in it called Friends Sharing Poems program. I'm a poet, and I just find that very interesting. Does that turn into like a social hour, or?
Well, I think a lot of our classes turn into a social group, and I'm not familiar with that one specifically.
Mm.
But we've had wonderful artists and poets and creative writers and. And I don't know.
And they come and teach classes, or they come and give readings? How does that work?
A little bit of both. Mm. One of my favorite things that happened was I was contacted several years ago by the Office for the Aging, saying that they'd been approached by some older members of the LGBT community who didn't really know where to turn if they were new to the community. You know, I think in this area, it's maybe a little easier for students or, you know, younger folks to meet and socialize. So we created an advisory committee, and we've been offering some programming that might appeal to that group, open to everybody, but it might appeal to those folks. So, for instance, Ziza Hava came and did a class with that group. So I love that we'll try different things. We're always looking for ways to serve everybody. We don't want to miss an opportunity.
I thought that was really interesting that you offer LGBT services to people, because I think that is a community that's still isolated in many ways, especially as people get older.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
When
I lived in San Francisco, people were saying, we've got to start a rest home for gay people because we're going to end up totally isolated.
Yeah. Oh, we've met some really wonderful people through that. And, another group, I think, is older Asian Americans. Mm. So we're trying to figure out ways to help support that group.
So you're always open to people coming in with new ideas. Do you allow people to just start something and see if people will come? Or how do you arrange that so it isn't, you know, like a failure or people that's are not right. interested?
That's right. Build it and they will come. That's sort of how our little chess group started, our drop-in drawing class started. People have an interest. There was a bridge group. You know, if they want, if they're willing to come in, and we'll try to publicize it and drum up some business for them. And it's kind of a neat thing. I walked through the lounge the other day, and there were just two people at the table playing chess. And I thought, well, that's a nice thing to do, you know. Yeah.
So I mean, the place is open. Anybody who has an idea, anybody who wants to come and take a class, there are opportunities.
Absolutely.
Somebody comes and says, I want to take a class. Maybe you can find somebody to help facilitate
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. We will.
Does Lifelong help people who need transportation to the facility or to something in the community?
We rely on Gadabout. Most of our folks are still driving. We're blessed in downtown Ithaca to have parking at our facility. We would probably refer them to Gadabout.
And make sure people connect.
Yeah, I wish we had transportation. That's sort of on our wish list down the road.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about medical help for some people? I mean, mostly seniors don't seem like they need medical help or have huge issues. But you have to have some that are quite elderly that come in. Do you have any kind of nurse on board? Or
we don't, but I'm smiling because some of those, you know, really elderly are in there doing Zumba Gold.
<That's>,
putting me to shame, you know.
You sure do Zumba. We don't have a nurse.
Exactly. So we don't have... on site. We, knock on wood, we haven't had too many issues. Staff is CPR certified, mm-hmm. but
That's wonderful. Now, before we run out of time, tell us about Senior Circle. That's a great newsletter that comes out.
Thank you. Oh my gosh, Senior Circle. I think our mailing list is at about 10,000 people, but it should be a lot more than that.
Wow.
Senior Circle is a quarterly publication that we do in partnership with the Office for the Aging. And it's just full of really good information. You know, there's always sort of a feature article about a senior. And then things that are going on at the Office for the Aging, things that are going on at Lifelong, things that are just of interest to seniors. About a year and a half ago, we did a little survey thinking maybe people would like to see us spruce it up a little bit or change it up. And the bottom line was, don't change a thing.
Oh, they liked it the way it
was. They liked it the way it was. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Well, Lucia, we're almost out of time. Can you give some contact information, how people can get in touch, phone numbers, websites?
Yes, please. We are at 119 West Court Street, parking in the front, some parking in the back. Our phone number is 607-273-8072, and our website is www.tclifelong.org.
Great.
Yes.
Well, Lucia Sacco, thank you so much for joining us. This has been great to talk about. What a great organization.
Thank you, Tish, very much.
And good luck in the future.
Thank you.
Our audio producer is Nate Richardson at Rep Studio in Ithaca, New York. Our theme music was composed by Diego Vega, and we are a sponsored project of the New York Foundation for the Arts. Tax-deductible donations are welcome at artspire.org. That's artspire.org. And visit us online at outofboundsradioshow.com. I'm Tish Perlman. We'll be back next week.